My name is James Dallas, and you know my biography from reading on the kiosk, so I'm not going to go over that again, but I've had a reasonable amount of experience in photography, and I've taught this class last year. And I just want to tell you one quick story. I don't have the photograph, but you'll get the idea. A woman who's, like many of you, doesn't know much about the camera, point and shoot, basically, doesn't use many of the features, you're all not, many of you are nodding, that's fine. No need to feel that you need to be an expert to take wonderful photographs. Well, the lesson was on filling the frame. Okay, that was a class that we had. That's not what we're doing this week, but we could cover it. And the whole idea is if I'm taking a picture of fall, let's say, I could take it from way back here. There's a lot of distracting things, the lights, the wood. But as I get closer, I concentrate on this wonderful face. We took the soft focus and got rid of some of the lines, we had 20 years younger. And this is where you want to go with the portrait. Now, some people do not like a camera in their face. So what can you do? What would you use? Telephoto. And I still ask people permission. I took a picture of a boy who had fallen asleep on his father's shoulder, and I asked the father, can I take a picture? So I took it. Okay, so where I'm going with this is one woman went out and she got a mug of hot chocolate, made sure it was cool, and just laid it on the picnic table. And then she had her camera just inches away from us, but very quiet. Pretty soon, chipmunk comes up. She's quiet, so she wasn't scared. Went up full length like this and licked it. You see the hot chocolate coming out. I made it my screensaver.
Oh, good point.
So if you're worried that this class today or other is going to be frightening, don't feel it, because this is what she did. I could not take that photograph. So here's a question for you. What's the best camera to use when you're at home? You know, you've got everything from Brent's got this show your camera. I mean, you can use it as a club in the dark alley. Look at the bag he's got. See? Look at this. Okay? And then all the way down to,
Lynn
has a very tiny one.
Yep.
Let's introduce ourselves real quickly. Just first name and what camera you have.
I'm Ben. I have an old Sony
Cyber Shot.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Lynn?
The Canon Power Shot. Eva, Canon Power Shot.
Bruce, the Nikon complex.
Sandy.
Who's here?
John.
At this point.
Olympus. Was it Stylus by
Paul, a Lumix with a long lens, and a Lumix that's the new model of it.
Yep.
I'm George, Canon. It's an ultra zoom point and shoot. I can't find the model number.
I'm Brent. I have a Canon Rebel XT reconditioned. I've replaced the exact same camera stolen in Russia.
Oh. Well, I have a Panasonic Lumix, the older version, which is a little smaller and heavier than the one he has, my wife has. Then I just bought an Olympus, which has some of the features I showed you, interchangeable lenses. So which one of these is the best?
The one you have with you?
That's right. You win the QP down. Is it George?
Bruce.
It's the one you have. And I was once in a photo class at St. Paul, Minnesota, at an art museum, and we all went out to take pictures of a dump. That would be a good place. It was a salvage yard. Great place to go. This time of day, setting sun, beautiful shadows. He took a pinhole camera, instructor. Y'all know what a pinhole camera
is? No.
Well, it's a black box. It was a forerunner to a lens. And there is no lens, really, or maybe there's a very simple thing to know. It's just a little pinhole, and it exposes the film. And someone had, believe it or not, more stuff than Brent. He had like straps, like a bandolero, like a Pancho Villa. You had three or four lenses and cameras. Guess who had the best pictures? Instructor, because of composition, light, black and white sometimes often better than color, depends on, you know, what the subject is. So anyway, it's the one you have. Here's my goal today. My goal is to encourage you in the next 45 minutes or so to take lots of photos. I'm going to talk for a few minutes longer. Then I'm going to give you an assignment. You're going to go out and spend 15 minutes taking pictures. And I want 25.
Oh my goodness.
And some of you said, we got to take 25 in a year. You're going to take 25 pictures. You can do it. It doesn't cost you more to take 25 than 50, does it? It's digital. And then we're going to come back and share. And if we run out of time, the class is over at 5. I know dinner's at 4:45. But if you come to one of the other sessions, we can have some time then. Or you can stay a little bit later. But I want you all to know you can leave at 5 o'clock. But dinner runs until about 6, 6:15. So if you want to talk some more, we can. Okay, so that's my goal. I was at a kite festival in Long Beach. Great photo ops. You're going to see some here. I went to a photo class, 1 hour, expert photographer. He's been to like 20 of these. He's had this published, he's won awards. And I, at the end of the class, I went up to him and I said, Mr. Instructor, I'm doing this class at Holman Village. There'll be some people who are very experienced, expensive cameras, some who are very afraid. What can I do? I'll ruin the camera if I take a picture. What is one thing that they should leave with? Not, you know, that's what you want, right? One thing, at least. Take, everyone repeat it for me. I will take lots of photos.
I will take lots of photos.
Yeah. All right. Well, sure. What is your name and what kind of camera do you have?
Camera 2.
All right. That's fine. We're just talking about my goal today is to get you to take lots of photos. Too bad we didn't give ice cream for every 10 photos. You know, we'd have lots of photos. So anyway, before I go on, I'm going to show you a few I took, not because I'm bragging or anything. You could have taken these photos. But a lot of times it's where you are. I just want to show you kind of the range of things.
I just watched a video that said for an average 30 photos in National Geographic, they take 14,000 shots.
Wow.
Yeah, and another thing I asked this photographer instructor, what should be my goal? How many should I take? He says, that's not the point. It's how many good ones you take. He said, you can come away from 3 days of this kite festival all day long, and they do it at night too. Huge kites, hundreds, thousands of kites. Not thousands, but hundreds. I usually take 200 a day, and I come away with one that I really like. So that's kind of what you're at.
Getting back to the film days, I remember photographers talking about, you know, how many rolls of film they took to get one.
Right.
And that was expensive then.
Now, I'm going to turn these lights off. Go ahead and turn both of them off. This is probably about 20 feet long, this particular fish kite. In the real photograph, you know, on the camera, when I call it up, this is a lighter blue. And that's one of the frustrating things about your image often gets printed at Costco wherever you go. It isn't quite the same. You can go back and say, look, here's light blue, you've got dark blue, do it again. They will do it for free. But it's kind of irritating. You're just going to have that happen. An easier way to do this. Then you go back. Huh, this is good. Now here's a good idea about composition, which is the key to most art. She's obviously flying a kite. But what's wrong with that photo?
Legs and cones and stuff.
Yeah, you've got all this background that's very distracting. Well, I didn't have a choice, I had to do it real quickly. There's a way of getting rid of that. If you had Photoshop, you could blank it all out and just show her. But here's another photograph I took. These all done very quick. I didn't ask permission, which is not good. But there it is. Better? Yeah. Again, now why is she looking up? You know, you don't know. But it shows real concentration, focus. Now, here's another one. It doesn't show you the scale, but it's extremely sharp, and of course, the waviness. And the composition is good. We're going to talk about a thing later in the week called the rule of thirds, which if you divide a photograph into thirds, you want the subject to not be in the very center. You know, you do it thirds this way too, a grid. And you can set your camera so you actually will have a grid. And I find it a little distracting. But in that session, you're going to follow the rules for part of the session, and then you're going to take 10 photos and then take 10 that are breaking the rules. And you're going to find, I know some of you are leaving tomorrow, that sometimes either one works. So don't be slavish to rules. But there often is a good reason why you have rules. I want to show you something else. Last one in the kite. I mean, this thing is incredible. This is about 300 feet long. I mean, and it's very light string. You can actually press it with your finger because all those have holes. This is Long Beach, Washington. Every year for 4 or 5 days, they have International Kite Festival. It's free. I mean, it's just phenomenal. Lots of places to stay. Now, this is one of Joel who's at this moment recording this session. He knows I'm doing this. I took this in the dining hall a couple days ago. What's wrong with that picture?
Lighting.
The lighting. What does it need?
Light flash.
It needs what's called fill-in flash. And when you go out in a few minutes, you're going to try and use fill-in flash. You're going to find something in the shade, like a flower, or if you're lucky, a deer or something, or your husband, your daughter, your wife, whatever. And then use the flash. And it will gently fill in the face without ruining the rest. What's good about it? He's smiling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The food looks nice.
And the food looks nice, yeah. I'd say, well, I'd go to this place. One or two more photos and we'll
move
on.
The lighting through the software.
Yep. Now, here's an interesting thing. Most programs come with pictures already in them. Here they are, your samples. Let's take a look at some of these. I like this one. What's so nice about it?
It's balanced.
Yep.
It's dimension too.
The butte is not in the center. It's not over here. The lighting and the shadows are just gorgeous. And it's the real light. It's what I've been to Southwest Utah or Arizona, and you have probably too. This is very, very accurate. Okay, we'll be talking about macro at early morning, 7 a.m. on Wednesday. And what happened to the rest? There you go. Now that's extreme. It's almost a micro. Yeah. You've got to have a pretty good camera to get that,
yeah.
That low, high magnification. This is trick one or two. Do I have? I think these are mine. I can't tell. Yeah. Now, this was Black Pine Lake near Twist, 75 miles from here, as the crow flies. This is not a sharp picture. You notice how the water is a bit hazy, but I did that purposely. It's like the soft focus we did on Paul's face because I wanted it to be soft like that. So that gives you an idea of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it could because it's late at night and it's just the way it happened. That was from our campsite, lovely place. Let's see if I can find a sharp one. That's even hazier. That's not. I don't pick like that because it's too hazy. Too much out of focus. I don't know which ones are sharper. It's just, again, you can take a different perspective. That's a narrower one. Where's the center? Where's the center of interest? Right there. And that's in the center of the photo, so I broke a rule. You could say it's down here too, a secondary. Yeah, so I've got one which I don't have with me here. It's a good friend of mine, was his birthday, and he was out there on a float tube all by himself. And I'm saying, wow, what a way to celebrate your birthday. So I think we've got one more set, and then we'll get on. You can learn a lot from other people's photographs, about how to take photographs and how not to take photographs. Oh, here we go. It's my wife who's here. Do you like that photograph?
Centered.
Yeah, it's not quite centered. It shows the person. It'd probably be better if it was either further away or closer. But it's not bad. That's why you take lots of photos. There she is up there. Now you wouldn't know that. But this is a wonderful hike in the No, it's in Washington near Puyallup, Tienaway. It's in the Tienaway. Very good. Okay, now here's an interesting perspective. Now, all I did was look up and the craggliness of it. Where's the center? Again, I violated one of the rules. It's probably in here, although you could, I don't know where it is. It's kind of all over the place.
And you could justify that because everything is pointing to it.
That's right. And I've done this before with evergreens. And then, even though sometimes you want to get a close-up of a flower, you're better off doing this. Now, I like this because, well, do you like it? What do you like about it?
Well, it's sharp as well as having the subject kind of in your thirds category.
Where's the focus? It's all over the place.
Yeah,
you've got at least three sets of, maybe each flower's in focus. So it violates that, but the dark in the center, I like this because then it doesn't, you're not drawn here, you're drawn here, or you're drawn here. And then this is great, that the texture, I didn't realize how good this is. I would probably print this.
Yeah.
And I have a wall of fame, not shame. Mm-hmm. And I print my best ones, but my wife refuses to have anything other than people.
Not St. John's there?
Yes, we're here.
Yeah.
Or right near.
That's right here.
That's right here. But I have some really good ones of, which I'll show at one of the other sessions. I don't take up too much time.
Cool.
Again, this is at the very top of, I think it's called, I forget the name of the mountain, but it's, the Stuarts are right in front of you. And, of course, what is this? Did somebody paint the rock?
Lichen.
No, it's lichen. Mm-hmm. I lichen. And two different colors.
James, the focal length of a regular point and shoot is what, about 14 feet?
Right.
Yeah.
And so you'd easily get that. Maybe one more. I wish I had. I don't have it on this set. Okay, there's the view from that place where the rock was. That, you see the Stuarts just peeking through. Again, this is a nice sort of like, here's our hike, but it's one I wouldn't bother to print, and I'd probably erase. Isn't that a horrible word, erase? Last one we're going to look at.
Ooh.
Now, what is that?
Art.
Yeah, that's what kind?
Spruce.
It's Sitka spruce, I think, or the, what's the one on in Eastern Washington? You see
Engelman.
What?
We have Engelman spruce right here.
Yeah. Again, it's just, we're over there looking at ghost towns, and we took a picture of texture. So there's photographs everywhere. Okay. Didn't want to get the lights. Good. So here's what you're going to do in our remaining time. Well, before I do that, the sequence here of taking photographs is you take them, This is very hard for people. If you take 200 photos and you erase a lot of them, but try to erase as many as you can. Who wants to keep buying new cards, SD cards or whatever kind you use? They're expensive and whatever. Improve on the image after the photo is taken. You can do that with Photoshop and other things, but why is that not preferred? Why would you want another way of doing it rather than after the fact? When is it a lot easier to change it? Right, exactly. Very good. When you're taking the picture, as we did here, like I took the picture of Paul and I liked it with the soft lines. I took one of you with sepia, but you still had the lines. So I picked one of them, redo that one, soft focus. Okay, then you're going to display the photo somewhere. Most of you would probably email or you make a print. You go to Costco, wherever, you make prints, you might do a photo book, photo album. Here's a question for you. My wife had an idea, because I said, I'd like to come back here in a couple years, do another photo class. What would be an extension of this? She said, well, a lot of people seem to have trouble figuring out what to do with all the photographs. They forget to write when they took them, who was there, and so no one knows. A big box somewhere, if they're even in one place. What if you had a class where you help people decide things like this? Where do you go? I'd give examples of photo books and albums. Best way to preserve them is to put them in the old black albums with, you know, little photo corners. But it sounds like some of you, you know, might come to a class like that.
Well, scrapbooking. People do a lot of scrapbooking.
Exactly. The last thing is you'd store it somewhere, preferably, you know, like if you're making discs, they can make a huge number of photos in a disc. Put them in a safe deposit box or a fireproof box. Always have two sets, because what happens if they're not fireproof, they're all gone. They've said, and with good reason, I would do this. If there's a fire in your house, you obviously get yourself out and your loved ones and your pets. After that, what do they get?
Photos,
because you can't replace them. Mm-hmm. You can buy new furniture, might want to buy new furniture, whatever, new house, but the photos are gone, that's it, you can't replace them.
Technology changes with this thing.
That's right.
I have a computer, just got my photos on it, and not to mention all my finances and all my personal records.
Well, that too, the tax records, so forth. Okay, so here's your assignment. 15 minutes, we're perfectly on time, actually we're ahead of time. Can you say 25? You got plenty of time. Some of you have a burst on your cameras, the feature goes, zzz, you can say 25 in about 3 seconds. But that's not what I recommend. Okay. But here's what you're going to get, well, we'll say including these things. People. You know how to take a picture of yourself? Well, you got a self-timer, but unless you have your wife or other, like this couple does, just hold it like this and take your picture. It doesn't have to be flash if you're in the sun. And then look at it to make sure when you review it that you got your whole head. If not, you know, you got a half, unless you like that half. Take it again. Okay, my wife does that a lot when she goes on hikes. So you try your flash or fill-in flash. It could be a person or a thing, flower, whatever. Lots of flowers around. Use your macro feature. Can I use telephoto with the macro? No, it doesn't work very well. So if I'm going to, you know, look on your camera right now, and there should be like a little flower. I've got a flower on mine. It's something that says close-up or macro.
I don't know.
I'll find it for you in a minute. So if I'm taking a picture of her hand, I'm going to get closer and closer. Eventually, like right there, it's in focus and focus. There, it's out of focus. So this particular camera, I can only go this far. Well, that's pretty close. Your manual, guess what, tells you how far. Good. Focus on somebody and see how far you can go. I'll check with you just before you leave. Long distance, all of you have, to one degree or another, a telephoto, 3 power, 10, whatever. Use that, like take a picture, one picture of Buckskin or one of the mountains, and then maximum telephoto, see what the difference is. Sun and shade, okay? All right, and anything else? Okay. Okay, so I'll give you a time to come back, and then the rest of the time, we're simply going to, not going to listen to me, you're going to share your photos and tell us which one you really like. And out of that 25, which one would you print? Okay, maybe you'll have more than one. Good luck. Okay, so it's now on my watch. I'll use that one, 4:27. So let's say at 4:50, is that okay? 4:50. And that'll give, is that too much time? That's too much. 15 would be, 4:45. Yeah. 4:45 on that clock. And if your watch is off, and you can go together as a group. I'll come outside. Don't go too far, because 15 minutes is long. You can't go to the ball field. So back here at 4:45 with as many as you get. If it's over 25, kudos. And if you don't get 25, don't worry about it. Okay? Have fun. Okay, who would like to be first to kind of, what we'll do is we'll kind of get in a circle and then just kind of show our image. Like, for example, did you have fun with that?
Yes.
Yeah. Anybody have trouble taking 25?
I'm not quite sure when you return,
okay.
But it was
if
fun.
If you're having trouble, it means that you're probably spending a lot of time composing stuff, which isn't bad.
Mm-hmm.
It was probably a huge number. But some people can have the 40. And so again, I expect you to erase all but a couple of these. Who's got one that they really feel good about? They might put it in a picture frame and have it in their house. Does anybody have a photo? It hasn't come to light.
And it might also mean that somebody had to go up to Chalet 10 to get the camera and then ran in.
Well, that's true.
Jesus for tonight and had to discuss the service.
No, I like
that's
this
true.
One. It's just
yeah.
A flower.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
One of the flowers, but it's sharp, and I took it with a pinhole setting.
Uh-huh.
What's a pinhole setting?
Well, that's what we were talking about. Now, you ought to know this one.
Well, I know.
Because it's soft focus. Again, softened without full frame.
You mean your camera has an actual, what's called, pinhole setting?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay, who's you got one they like?
I like that one.
All right. Okay, why do you like it?
I like daisies.
Lots of flowers.
Yeah. And I like how I took a
I don't know why I took it.
Now there's a lot of variety in that.
Uh-huh.
Some of you are not. Well, I would tend to want to go a little closer,
mm-hmm.
but
mm-hmm.
this is okay. Whatever you like.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've got a lot of, if you were painting them, my wife would like this one better than close up.
I like
because she has a lot of paint.
But it's too skinny.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I like because the angle.
I like the skinny side. So. And you've caught the same angle going. Which
mm-hmm.
one's your favorite one? Oh, look at this one. It's a scene we've seen, but it's all the perspective. It's the angle he's got. He's got
oh,
the
it's disappeared.
Is that nice?
Yeah, pull up the display again.
Can I turn my camera?
What happened? He's got so many features. It timed up.
It turned itself on after being idle for a while.
Mm-hmm.
This is my favorite one. Light and shadow, and it's mostly monochromatic.
Okay, this is Prince. Very nice shadow.
Weaving.
Oh, you're weaving.
Yes.
Now I like Prince, and I like all the ones that I've seen.
Uh-huh.
It just depends on. Did we lose?
Now, I got decent ones of this totem pole, but they just don't show up on this TV display.
Oh, yeah.
I like
my display's not here.
particular tree, it has to be that wide to be able to get all in.
Right.
Here's the picture.
Yep.
Sure.
There you go. Now, Paul took one, some of us were going in closer, but I like the fact it's the red window.
Yes.
It's very paintable.
Yeah, I like that.
Compared to an amateur watercolors.
How about this one?
Yeah.
Old west.
Yeah, the western.
Everybody has their own. Did you find one you like? Oh. I love, take a look at this one, he's passed around. Just go ahead and pass it around. What I like is he's focused on the wheat or whatever it is, and the rest is all blurred.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Going for this.
There are no bad photographs, people. Excellent job. Okay, Al.
Yes.
Be honest, would any of you have trouble erasing most of these?
No. I've already started.
No.
Good. That's what you should do to preserve your card's capacity, because if you've got all these on there, every time you like to go to Costco somewhere and you want to print, you want to print one of your favorite ones, you got to go through all those others. So get rid of them. So tonight, if you're coming to the class tomorrow, it's a different topic, but get rid of all but a couple. It's hard. It's like ripping out your heart. But nobody else cares, really. That's the reality. But I'm very proud of the efforts that you did. By the way, those of you that are interested in any of the other classes, they're all self-contained. So in other words, you don't have to, I'm not going to cover you part of this one for people who didn't come to this one. It'll be totally new. And you can come to one more or four more and get all new material. But I would certainly get rid of all but a couple. And if you came back from Holden and you have one or two or three really good photos, you made a little photo book out of it, wouldn't people be interested in that? Say, hey, I got five photos. You got time?
Yeah.
Sure. But instead, Brent comes in there and he's taking bursts, you know. You know, showing baseball swing, 100 photos of this. Yeah, 350 photos. You're going to say, I once went to a slideshow, remember those days? We get the carousel. And I fell asleep and missed Europe. You know, and this is the thing.
Yeah.
The slides, we all got to go through, if we have slides, put them onto DVDs or just get a couple of them. That's that storage thing. So it's, we got about 5 minutes. Do you have any questions at this point? Anything on anything photographic within the community?
Well, one of my frustrations has been trying to take pictures of our grandsons. And they move so fast. And then they don't really want their picture taken either. So you have to kind of, I haven't been very successful.
Well, here's a couple of suggestions, then I'll ask many of you, because you may have, you've done this. I don't have them, children, but I have methods. Number one, your camera has a setting for sport. And that's exactly what they are, sport, actually, like a sport. They're doing it. Sport, what it is, will give you a fast shutter speed, so you're able to get it. Now, sometimes the blur is actually kind of nice, like if you've got a gurgling stream or a waterfall, you can get the blur. But you obviously want it sharp. So, first of all, find something in the setting that's sport or action or something like that. And there might be a picture of somebody shooting a basket or something. The other thing is you've got to find them, hopefully at a quiet moment, whether like in front of the computer or a painting or a sculpture or clay, where they're concentrated on something or a train set, and then use your telephoto. Don't go out and put the camera in, because the moment they see you, they'll freak out.
Right.
So what you do is you're back here, and of course it's your grandchild or nephew or niece, so you don't have to ask. So you hopefully that. You go close and you take lots of pictures, because a few of them are going to turn away and you get a nose or you get the back of their head. So what else, what other ideas do some of you who obviously done this more than I have?
When you're buying a camera just for recreational shooting like this, what would be the top three features you would look for in a camera?
One is weather resistant, shock proof. This young lady said that she might have a light leak. Well, it turns out she doesn't, but she's dropped it. How many times have I dropped this? Many. And I figure eventually it's going to buy the toast, but I use it so frequently that I don't care. So get one. They make them now that are, used to be that any rain would be questionable. Well, how much rain do we get in Western Washington? So now they make them so that they're water resistant. And even waterproof.
I don't know how I did it, but
tell
I did
us
it.
What you did.
But I don't know.
You don't know what you did? Oh, you got rid of the black.
Yeah.
You play around long enough. You can't break it unless you throw it down.
I know what
so
it
they make them waterproof to 15 feet.
So.
It's got to have to be waterproof. What's your one? Okay, so that would be two of the features. I would also say I like it so it's can put in my pocket or in a purse or whatever. Those would be my three. That's why I have this one.
Sure.
And see, he has the new one. My wife has.
Plus the Super Zoom. The same
right,
reason.
Right. Now, having said that, if I were a semi-professional wanting to get some enter a photo contest, I'm going for this with the lenses or this. And I take 100 photos for one here. But the one I take here is really sharp. I took one of those flowers with both cameras. This one's much sharper. I knew it would be. He's got one that would even be sharper than either of mine. So it's just a question of what do you want? So those are the three features. But anything else for grandchildren?
Yeah, a couple of things. One is digital cameras, particularly the more inexpensive ones, have a fairly long delay between the time you press the shutter and they shoot. And I try to, if I'm following my grandson or something, I'll try to keep that shutter half cocked. Keep that shutter at half, you know, push it halfway down.
Ready.
That means when you
ready.
Push it the rest of the way, it'll fire much faster.
Uh-huh.
But here's a feature that most cameras have. I'll bet you'd be surprised. I'll bet half or more of these cameras. His has it for sure. You have it. I have it. A thing called burst or something
yes,
like that.
Yes, that was the
that's what you want. It's
yeah.
the old like you see sports figures. You click 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 click, and you see
right.
the person.
And for a grandchild shot, I would set the burst on fairly slow, like two frames per second.
Right. Now you are going to have to erase a lot of photos.
Yeah, and you can't do that with flash.
You don't want to do it when you're only got a few hundred left on your card, or you'll run out.
Right.
But if you've got a lot of room, take them and erase all the two or three. And you've got it. I mean, every little movement of their head.
Yeah. Two other things. Three other things. One is to do it a lot, so they get kind of used to it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Secondly, you can set your sensitivity, called the ESO, to a high ESO. Now, if you try to blow it up, it'll have lower resolution, but it stops the blurring. So you can set the ESO up to 400 or even 800. And
it automatically makes the shutter speed faster.
Yeah, so for most pictures, that'll stop the blurring. And then in terms of buying a camera, a lot of new cameras are coming out with what's called a CMOS chip.
The burst feature.
So, and with the CMOS, it renews very quickly. So you can take a bunch in a quickly without having to use a burst. But then even if you use a burst on a regular camera, it'll take about 10 seconds sometimes before it'll go again. And on the CMOS ones, you take
a
bunch of more functions.
Well,
and closer together.
Now he's at
CMOS. CMOS.
Yeah, I am going to close the class at this point. My next class is 6:15 tomorrow night, and the topic shown there. And then on Wednesday, 7 a.m. But we're going to get early morning light, and we're going to do close-ups.